The following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is Michigan Afterthoughts from a NASCAR Fan's View. Well, from this fan's view, things didn't go as I expected they would Sunday afternoon. The Fords were slower than I expected they would be in the latter part of the race, and a Toyota ended up winning. I have to admit I was surprised because I really thought a Chevy was going to take home the trophy. Now, I thought the Chevys would want to make a statement, especially since the race was in Michigan, the home of the Big Four automakers, and a quick look at the finishing order says they did, at least to me. Of the top nine finishers, six of them were Chevys with one Dodge and two Toyotas. There was a total of eight Chevys in the top 15. I would say the Chevys looked very strong for the weekend at Michigan. The first Ford was Matt Kenseth in 10th, with two more finishing 11th and 12th. I'm sure that was not at all what they hoped to accomplish, especially at Michigan International Speedway, where they usually are the ones to beat. Carl Edwards had an engine problem which caused him to finish many laps down and in 36th position. Now, this is just my opinion, but I'm thinking he and the 99 team are hoping they're getting the bad luck out of the way before the chase starts. Otherwise, it could be a long 10 races once it does. As for Denny Hamlin, the longer the season runs, the more his luck stays the same. His one victory this season is the only thing keeping him at all in contention for a wild card spot in the chase. He took another big hit in the points on Sunday, finishing 35th and dropping further back in the overall top 20 standings to 14th. From my view and listening to him talk during interviews, it appears he is ready to punt this season and work on being strong for next year. Honestly, I can't blame him because, as I've been saying for the last several articles, he can't seem to buy a good break, even if his career depended on it. And unless things change for him, it very well could depend on his doing better sooner than later. Even though the four Hendrick Chevy teams didn't look that strong in the first practice or qualifying, they sure showed up on Sunday ready to take it to their competition. From this fan's view, it appeared Jeff Gordon had the strongest car in the longer green flag runs. Unfortunately, it took him around 10 laps to get up to top performance in a run, and he was also plagued by trash accumulating in his grill, causing the engine to run hot and the car to get loose. In all honesty, he had as good a chance at winning as did several of the others. He just didn't catch any breaks at the right time. Still, he finished 6th and moved up another spot in the top 10 to 6th. Jimmy Johnson and the number 48 team showed their usual late-season ability to overcome adversity and finish at or near the front. He had a very good chance of taking the win, but Kyle Busch was just too strong for everyone at the end of the day. Even the green-white checkered finish didn't help him out, even though it did close the gap of Kyle Busch's lead with the rest of the field. As it turned out, Martin finished 4th and Dale Jr. 14th. Had it not been for the GWC, it is this fan's opinion Junior would have finished in the top 10, possibly even in the top 5. Brad Keselowski continues to impress with his third top 5 finish in as many weeks. Whatever happened to him after that horrible crash during testing has sure been good for his finishes over the last three races. With a 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, he has moved from 23rd in points to 12th and has been running strong every race. It is no fluke. He's just been sucking it up and driving since the accident. Does that mean he's going to continue performing at this level? Well, that is a very good question, and I don't have a good answer. All I know is this. In NASCAR, things can often change to the negative just as quickly as they do the positive. Just ask Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, and even Kevin Harvick if you don't think that's true. Whatever happens, the next three races are pivotal for more than just Brad Keselowski. Depending on what happens in these next three races will either make or break the rest of the season for names like Tony Stewart, Clint Bowyer, Greg Biffle, and even Mark Martin. Wins are the most important thing for all of them, and several others, as the season winds down to its close and the door for being in the chase slams shut. The others with one win and in the top 20 have to move up in points or get another win even to have any chance at all of being in the 2011 chase. One thing is certain, from this fan's view, it should prove to be a very interesting and exciting three weekends ahead. And I don't think we're going to know all of the drivers that will be in the chase until the last race is over. So hang on to that cup holder. The fun is just beginning. Hey, this is Russ. I'll see you next time, right here in NASCAR Fans View, for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi everyone, my name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind Podcast Norm Audio Productions, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the music I use in my podcasts and other productions. It's from Mike Stewart, and it's called Two Buck Themes. We all know music makes every production better, and not only is Two Buck Themes royalty free, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time, and I use it exclusively on these podcasts. If you make audio and video productions and want to make them better, then give Two Buck Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Once you hear and use them for yourself, I'm sure you will feel the same way I do about them. So click on the link below and get Two Buck Themes for yourself. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.